But Black Caviar is the leader. She got away from Hayworth with 100 metres left to go. Start number 13. Unlucky for some, not for this one. Black Caviar raced away and beat Hayworth. Inside the 200 metres mark, and Winks has raced to the lead from Imperial Lass, Ungrateful Allen, and this is a monstrous win of the eight. Vow and Clowns out after Mr. Quickie. Carif No Boo and Lepros on the outside, but Mr. Quickie is still the leader from Vow and Declare. He's running out Mr. Quickie, but he's in front. And Mr. Quickie, Mr. Quickie's won the derby by a length on the line to Vow and Declare.
They've got 200 metres left to run, and Incentivise, he is a mile in front. This is absolutely glorious to watch, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where it will end, but we know it began in the Brisbane winter of 2020.
Rothfire is still the leader. Here comes the Blood, though. Alligator Blood on the outside stormed up and took over. Alligator Blood's in front, flashing late private eye, but Alligator Blood won the straight back. Overpass in front, Giga Kick on the outside, trying hard. Waiters Marzu knuckling down. Giga Kick now takes over, waiting. Giga Kick's won the 10 down. Serpentine dashed away. Three lengths in front from Launtees. Here comes, Without a Fight, down the outside, finishing seemingly very much full of running, and out wide, Without a Fight's taken over. Jewis trying hard, late non-conformist, and further back to Launtees, but Without a Fight clear. Two lengths in front near the line, and kept going. It's all Without a Fight.
Now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
G'day, thanks so much for getting our year-round carnival preview edition of the Doomben 10,000, that little theme, of course. Powderfinger, one of the great Queensland bands, that's going to be our theme for the next few weeks as we have a deep dive into the Queensland carnival. Vince Accardi from Daily Sex Horse, good morning to you.
Oh, Ralphie, it feels like I haven't spoken to you for 6 years.
Exactly. We just have a Monday off and bang, there we go. get back in the zone.
Yeah, you get so used to it. And I know there was a lot of things to talk about from then, but I'm sure we're going to touch on it in the near future.
Absolutely right. So Doomben 10,000, it has come up a really great race, which is fantastic. Small field, but a bit of quality there as far as the track's concerned as we speak. And we're recording this at 9:05 Friday morning. All the information we can give you is as good as we can right now. And we'll update it, of course, tomorrow post-scratchings with a bit more clarity about the rain. The track has been given out as a heavy eight. The conditions are expected to fine up. Are you sort of working on that sort of soft six or seven?
So they're giving it heavy eight.
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of was an eyebrow raiser to me too.
Okay, because yesterday was in the slow range. All right, well, the good news is I'm just looking at YR as we speak, and they're indicating no rain until after six, if any, on Saturday.
So right.
That's good news, and pretty much sunny throughout Saturday. So, yeah, we should be, well, let's hope, we should be absolutely in the slow ground, worst case scenario.
It's the first meeting since April 13. The rail was out 3.5 that day. When the rail's back to true, how are we sort of expecting Doomben to play as a rule?
Well, the reality is, assuming all things normal, it's going to be on pace, near lead, closer to the fence is definitely going to be the best place. And when I say close to the fence, lanes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there'll be no difference. To get out into some sort of advantage, you do have to get it about 12 off the fence. Is that going to happen? Well, that's only going to happen if they've got issues with the track. you know, leading into the 350 meter mark, you know, around that bend. If they've got issues, then they're gonna spawn wide, and then those fast lanes will come into play. But if they haven't raced this for all that time, we've got to take the position. This track's going to be spot on.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right, the Toowoomba 10,000. Like I said, there's some genuine quality involved in the race, but with a small field and a bit of a bolter there in Body Bob, a fast bolter. How are you expecting the pace to unfold here?
Yeah, what pace?
That's what I mean. Yeah, you got the bolter there. They're just going to let it go, and then when's the real pack going to be?
Well, if they let it go, the horse is going to go plus two, Ralphie.
Yep. Right.
So I don't see it being too fast, but realistically, it's more what's Craig going to do on Bella Nipotina and what's Tyler going to do on Marzu. What's their plans?
Yes.
If they got plans to put a little bit more pressure on, then maybe we can go plus three. But realistically, I'm just tipping this field to be benchmark standard, plus two maximum, especially with a bit of give in the ground.
All right, so let's get to the favourite, I Wish I Win. There's a number of different ways of looking at it, but one reality is he's a horse who does like to find his feet in his races, and he's drawn barrier one. Whether that becomes a negative, or also, I suppose, the other factor to try and you know, get our head around is, will that mean that the market will let you on for a reasonable price? So I Wish I Win, talent-wise, he's the best horse in the field, isn't he?
He is. Now, was that horse went into that race not 100% right in that last start?
No, I don't think that was the case, but it was 175 days between runs, and they had a throw at the stumps at trying to win it first up. But I suppose the question then is, did they learn from it and say, well, due to that race shape, it made it a very hard situation to try and win first up?
Correct. Well, the horse came back fantastic anyway, plus 2.7, very, very solid performance, much stronger on the race matrix, sort of indicating that we were sort of mid to high fours. And this is like a great place to start. If I look at it from an intel point of view, 2.7 first up versus what it did at Flemington over 1,000 a couple of preps back, that was like plus 3.2. And even the prep before Caulfield over 1,400, it was plus 1.9. But Race Matrix said all three runs were above four. So this is it has to be the starting point. The horse, without question, is going to have no issue with ground conditions. And pace-wise, it doesn't matter how you look at it. This runner, when they turn into the home straight, isn't going to be spotting anybody 10 lengths.
No.
It's just not going to be the situation. There's only going to be maybe a handful of lengths maximum. So that's the reality, is that, do you, Ralphie, would they be setting it maybe for any other races as well?
No, I think Peter Moody's just decided that this is an easy Everest horse every year.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously try and win the TJ, take it up to Queensland, try and win a you know, Group 1 like tomorrow, and then back out in the paddock and then start again.
Right. So, given that scenario, this is the horse. Unfortunately for all of us, including me, it's how are you going to back against it? Real. Yeah. Think about it, right? How are you going to back against it? What, you going to take Private Eye?
Well, we're going to go Ballon Private Eye on talent, because if we look at talent, there wasn't much between them in the Everest last year. But one of the theme that you've really been banging on about this prep, and I say that with respect, not disrespect, after that Lightning win, which was fantastic, it was just a weirdo preparation. It was just no flow into its preparation, 1,000 then staying at 1,000.
Yeah, and I sort of look at Private Eye and then went to 1,400. Here we are. Of course, this is an ideal distance, but the ground conditions aren't going to be favourable for the horse.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Yeah, well, it's definitely nowhere near as good as I Wish I Win in wet ground. So this is also another challenge. So Joseph Pride's got a few challenges there that he's got to deal with. Things haven't obviously gone his way for whatever reason, and it may continue with that music. But if the track miraculously got drier, then there's a horse that might be able to challenge I Wish I Win, might. But really, if we walk away from that part, Ralphie, we've really got to look at who are the two horses like in the hot form right now, and that's Bella Nipotina and Jaina Lightning.
No doubt. So Bella Nipotina gone across to the west, come back again. But she's an Iron Mare. And this stable, do you want to put a line through them?
No, we don't. Absolutely not. But what we do know is this. We know that this particular runner is a rock solid, let's call it a plus three horse.
Yep.
That's what it is. It's a rock solid. On its day, if all things work out right and things don't go to plan for some other horses, this is the sort of race it can win. Because it's going to be in the golden spot. It's going to be either stalking the lead or creating the lead. It's going to be one or the other. So Craig Williams has got himself in a fantastic situation here. Got a rock hard horse. Is it ideal doing the Melbourne, Sydney, Western Australia and now to Queensland strategy? I would say no, but they've got a horse in top form in arguably one of the best stables in the country.
So, Chain of Lightning, you touched on it. It won that TJ with a beautiful Damien Lane ride. Outlier race shape for a race of that quality, wasn't it? It was a real slow tempo that didn't really move, and Damien Lane going for home at the top of the straight was the difference. Gets the other gear change that we talk about a bit. Jamie Carr first time after a bit of a sideways run over 1400.
Yeah, and I feel just coming back to the 1200's beautiful.
Yep.
No question, this will suit the horse. This horse can handle some given the ground. Now, is it as good as I wish it were? No. But it's there.
Yep.
Run a good race.
Yep, and I suppose the others will round off with the one handles wet, one doesn't, and the one's Mars who handles wet seems to be, even though it won last out on genuine knee-deep bog, which we're definitely not expecting tomorrow, probably a bit below from a couple of years back.
How crazy is that? You're right, Ralphie. This runner is genuinely a couple of lengths behind what it did two preps ago. It's trending right on what it did last campaign, rock solid around that 1.5, 1.8 range and staying there. Now, of course, the give in the ground is going to be a plus for the horse, but I doubt Marzu's got better wet track profile than I Wish I Win. So it does not matter how you move this chessboard, Ralphie. It's all checkmate everywhere. And you're down to two options. I'm down to two options. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not we. I am. I'm down to two options. I play or I don't play, because if I'm play, there's only one awesome interest in it. I Wish I Win.
I think the market will let you on. It's currently $2. And because like I said, barrier one, probably everyone's going to map a three back defence. I think the market will let you get a price. So maybe $2.50, around about that, and $1.40, $1.30. So that'll be your type of market, won't it?
Yeah, well, I look at it from this angle, Ralphie. I'm looking at the dynamics over the last 400 metres. I Wish I Win on multiple occasions, or at least on two occasions, has been able to break plus seven last 400. Now, I went through and had a look at how many other horses, other than Private Eye, genuinely have that capability of doing that. Well, Bella Nipotina could if it's a completely farcical run race, but that'll just mean I Wish I Win's 400-meter sprint will be even bigger. But I am talking off reasonable race pace, somewhere near benchmark. They're just, no one's got it, Ralphie, that are capable of doing it. They can only do it if it's a slowly run race. Now, could this happen? Could we find ourselves in a race where instead of going plus two or benchmark, we're going minus five? Is that possible?
Well, you always got to ask the other side of the question, I suppose.
Yeah, so that's probably one way of finding a reason why things could be upset in terms of the way the outcome should be. But I'm looking at a race shape that's going to be, let's say, benchmark on the low, plus two on the high. This is what I'm viewing. And I'm saying to myself, well, I Wish I Win's got a rock solid plus 7.5 if this horse is travelling around three lengths below benchmark. Now, if it's travelling three lengths below benchmark and we're going benchmark, well, he's only going to be three lengths off him. And if they're going plus two, it's going to be five. So I just couldn't find any other way how this horse could get beaten unless the horse isn't right.
And let's finish with the Espiona, because, I mean, she probably has to get back to last. And the reason I want to stress this is because she's second favourite, so particularly for those taking multis. And she's a drier, the better horse, and she's a 1,400 much better than 1,200 horse. Seems like she's priced on an unlucky run, the TJ, but Randwick big track is a bit different dynamic to Doomben small track, tight track.
Yeah, well, let's look at this horse as well. This is another runner. If we're running at a race pace that's, say, where Espiona can run six, seven lengths below benchmark through the first half of the race, then this horse has got the capacity of running around mid sevens last 400, possibly even up to plus 8 or 9. But now if that horse is running at that speed and we're going benchmark, well, firstly, it's going to be giving I Wish A Win at least a 2 or 3 length head start and will be a high probability outside of the elastic band, you know, that zone that we want horses to be. And this is the worst case scenario. You've got to be inside 8. So where is this horse favoured? Slow run race. Could this happen, Ralphie? That's the only way I can see my money not coming back to me.
Well, it's nice and simple then. Let's leave it at that and we'll talk business in the morning. First leg of the quaddie, race 6. It's for the two-year-olds. You've got a low confidence at the moment on your early edition of race speed profiles. Of course, that's coming out what the computer's actually spitting out, just a benchmark of minus 2.6. So, unfortunately, geez, there's some very interesting races elsewhere on the quaddie. I wish this wasn't a leg, Vince. But at the moment, the favourite for the race is Angel Capital. Couldn't have looked any more impressive at Cranbourne, and it was... You know, Jamie Carr rode it arrogantly and just out the back of the field and then dash home. Not much on the clock overall. What do you make of the best last 600, 400 and 200 from that sprint?
Well, I've got to work with the intel. And the intel's got it rock solid minus 5.4.
Yep.
Low. And the RM, the race matrix, is dramatically worse, which scares me. And then I look to see, okay, where could we pick up the pieces? There is a case to be made from the 600 to the 200 metres. This horse slowed roughly around 2.5 lengths. So we could add 2.5 back and maybe another length or two beyond that if you wanted to go. This still only gets this horse around that minus 2 range, all things considered. And we're up to 1,200 metres, which I don't see that being a negative for the horse. The challenge is... You know, can you have any confidence this horse is going to break benchmark second up?
Yeah, so this is the type of horse where you're just happy to sit and watch because you just don't want to be involved until they show more on the clock, yeah?
Well, that's what I feel. And now if we want to look at who's got the best profile going into this race, excluding wet track profiling, because we don't know with most of these horses, a Heavenly Impact. Profiles very well.
Remarkable price, Vince. Please tell me more. I'm trying to work out its price.
Well, the only reason why I could think this price could be is, one, maybe it's a disaster if it gets anywhere tracks, because I don't know, or is this horse purely a 1,000-metre horse? But when I look at the numbers, I don't see that. I actually see this horse use plenty of pace early and only tanked out over the last 200 metres. I mean, the last 200 metres was 0.4 below benchmark after running above benchmark for 3 splits. And I'm sitting back here saying, well, the horse just had its first race start and has come back a rock solid, pretty much 0.5 below benchmark. So this horse is already there. So the question mark will be, okay, can you handle the transition up by 200 metres? I see no reason why you can't. And secondly, the unknown will be, will you or won't you handle the wet ground?
Well, I often say that sometimes with a small stable or lower profile stable, however you want to put it, you can get a bit of a price. Because the other point about this horse, that when you said second on debut, that was Magic Millions Day where every horse was on debut and there were some big money horses, as in yearling sale type horses. They backed it heavily, $7 into $5.50, and it didn't run down the favourite, one of the other horses in the race. Lead us on, but that's a good sign on a day like that to have that type of money involved. And since at a barrier trial, I think there's no reason to say that it won't be competitive. So, like I said, it seems like a remarkable price.
No, that's correct, Ralphie. And the other runner that I wanted to consider, this is again for the quaddies, right? Yeah. Is what about number 11, El Mozzarillo?
Yep. So it for Roman size produce, it's second favourite for the race. But give us more about that profile.
Well, let's have a look at this horse. Through the first section, it went 7.7 lengths below benchmark. I don't feel that worked for the horse. When you look at the nature of this horse as a genuine minus sort of 2.5 horse through the first section, now going 5 lengths slower. Nice move in the mid-race. It's made a 6.5 length mid-race move and then put down a plus 4.5 last 400. This isn't going to have any problems with the 1,200 metres and does show that possibly... If this track's, and we're going to say drying from heavy and gets in the slow round, that maybe this horse can handle some given the ground because it's got a little bit of exposure to it. So I just sit back and say, here's another horse. What are the negatives? The negatives is this. Does it have another runner left? That's it.
Yep.
That's all.
Just better put one on the table for you because there's one that sometimes – there's a stable that sometimes win races outside the numbers, let me put it that way, that
yep.
at Valdesham. So this Bizasto that the horse – the callers north of the border get wrong because they don't know it's named after the great Carlton star, Peter Bizasto. So Hawkesbury, it was, you know, hampered at the start and all that, so it was only played. They backed it on in the size produce, blinkers first time. And it was a day at Flemington where there was that big, strong headwind. You couldn't make ground out wide. Now, traffic warden led throughout. 70 days. Bounce theory with a little barrier troll?
Well, look, it's possible, but
I know the numbers aren't there. That's always the thing. I better put it on there for our customers.
Well, you know me, Ralphie. I can only speak English with numbers.
With facts. Yeah, okay. Righto. We'll leave that race. It's low confidence, but there is one at big odds that we've outlined there with heavily impact if you're considering that end of the market. It is a nice race that we know the form of. The listed race over 1,110 metres. Paracel is the favourite. It's also most advantage. It's got a big spruik on it. Rightly so. It was a first-up specialist, and it got the job first up in a good fashion at Hawkesbury. But then when you peel back the numbers, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with its second-up profile anyway. So don't like last prep, second-up to Benedetta, last week's Group 1 winner.
Yeah, so with this horse, are they going to be in Sydney or Melbourne?
Sydney or Brisbane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not scratched at this stage. So I think the rules are that it has to be. They have to declare it, so it's not scratch. I assume it's going to Brisbane.
Okay, beautiful. Well, that's good to know. That's pretty important. Yeah, I felt that first up run was excellent. Virtually benchmark, good performance through the first section, 2.9 lengths below benchmark. Loved what it did in the mid-race, getting a length above benchmark, and then the last 400, rock solid. Here it is, plus 5.5. And I look at the running lanes and that, Ralphie. There's definitely the horse didn't get any edges in the lanes. So I'm sitting here saying that's the way you want to come back, and you could easily see this horse improve half length to a length. And of course, I just got a little bit of nervousness with the Blue Jackets about how they've been handling themselves, and I haven't been able to catch them in the right moment. But this is a horse that, all things being normal, you just feel second up's going to be gold, and even staying at the distance will not be a negative.
And should get a perfect run off of what looks like a pretty fast speed on paper?
Yeah, for sure. And, well, the way I've sort of scored the race is pretty much we're going to be above average to fast. I can't see them going slower than about plus three, Ralphie, and wouldn't surprise if they're going maybe as fast as plus six. So I do see this is a race with plenty of pace, and it's going to be gold for the midfield runners. I didn't think Paracel was the only horse that should have been considered in this race. I did like a couple of other horses. The international runner, Bubble Rock, just a bit of a pity that it's turning up in a fast race. And, right. Of course, this horse has got ability, Ralphie.
I went to YouTube and I had a look at some of the runs, but nothing other than watching it. But, yeah, it seemed like a bit of talent.
Yeah, no, this horse has definitely got ability, and I'm scoring on its low benchmark, but this horse is easily capable of running plus two or three. Just concern, and over the short course as well, Ralphie. So this is we're not just talking about the horse has got a profile up to the plus three range and it needs a lot more distance. No, this horse can generate it at this distance level. My challenge is this with this horse. I'm going to respect it no matter what, plus the fact that Blake Shin's on it. The second part is I'm not sure about how it's going to handle itself in ground conditions that we're possibly going to be faced with, wet ground. And I never really feel, unless it's a race like a Cox Plate, I don't like horses from overseas first up in a very fast run race. So they're the little drawbacks.
But on talent, you're saying it's got the ability.
Yeah, and the other one's number 11, Ralphie. Now, I don't know.
Extravagant Star.
Yeah, if that's racing in Sydney or Melbourne or Queensland, but love this horse's profile for this race.
Yeah, they're both running. I've looked it up since since we started speaking. So now here's one a bit interesting on what the market does here too, because it won this track and distance, which the big players tend to like. Last start at Hawkesbury when it was fifth. Again, no inside lane advantage on the day, just as Parasol didn't. But I know you don't put it, but I'm going to put it down the table as far as that's how the robots will think. On the day, there was 2.5 kilos difference, and there was only a bit wider in the market. Tomorrow, there's 7 kilos difference, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying on what the work you do, but I'm saying it's on the work that others do. I wouldn't be surprised if the big players actually like that swing.
So, words are going up 7.5 or down 7.5?
Well, it carries the same, but after Parasol was 2.5 more, now tomorrow Parasol's 7 kilos more. So I think that's the type of thing that the robots, if there's a move for a Ma horse on a weight swing, Extravagant Star, it probably tells you that tomorrow's their opportunity to get black type, because this is the other thing with this horse. Try and put down some trainer's intent to match your numbers, Vince. Right. This horse won a big prize money race as a 2-year-old, but no black type yet in its profile, so they would be very keen. Now, this was when it was with Team McAvoy. They would be very, very keen to put some black type for the page. So that a listed win would be worth significant money to the owners.
Okay. Well, then if we look at this horse's profile, that's a great point. On the 26th of Rose Hill, 1,100 metres, that's where it produced the 1.1, pretty much franked by the race matrix, second best performance of the day. First section, 5.9 below benchmark. Probably going, when I say probably, its profile is somewhere around a -1. The benchmark range is where this horse's natural racing speed is over the shorter distances. Here it's 5.9 below, right? Going 4 lengths slower than what's perfect for the horse. The mid-race, very good, 0.7 above. But look at the last 400. It was a rocket, +7.5. I just sit back and look at that, and I'm looking to see how this horse has been trending. And the trend's there. It's absolutely there. I'm a big believer, trend's your friend, right?
Yeah.
And you have a look at that run at Doomben on the 13th and 4th, 2.8 lengths below benchmark. Race Matrix is saying it's almost benchmark. Fourth best performance of the day in a race with good speed. Finished very strong with a 3.5 lengths above benchmark last 400. Back to Hawkesbury. I looked at the race shape, probably, you know, length and a half, not ideal for the horse going 3.7 below, but very strong last two sections. So here we are, back to Queensland. I find this fascinating how they can just do it so easily, go back and forth, you know, shuttling up and down, but that's the place to do it from Sydney to Brisbane. And I'm just sitting back here saying, okay, so what's your negative? Your negative could be how well will you handle the wet ground if you're worried about anything. So I just had a bit of a look at that, Ralphie, and just tried to get some understandings about what the horse could do. So what I've noticed is this. If we're on ground conditions that's around S5, maybe, but, you know, S6 would be the most rare. If it's S6, I don't want to touch it. Or S7, I don't want to touch the horse. But if it's around an S5 range, this is the serious threat to Parasol, for sure.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So at the moment, it's $8 versus $3. I wouldn't be surprised if they're closer in the market tomorrow. And I'm not making any comment about where they'll be at the finish. I'm saying about how the market might move. And that given the argument that you've put and the track distance and the weight swing, I think they might be a bit closer and she might start shorter than $8, particularly if, as we expect, the drying conditions. We should finish with Chinny Boom. Is this a sort of a bounce theory setup, Vince? So it was 5 weeks between runs. We saw it at the Magic Millions day when it was in a high pressure 1300, and Clinton Taylor's clearly spacing this horse's runs. It looks like this is the one they've aimed it for, back to 1100.
It's a good horse, but a little bit of Patrick Payne about it, just trying too much.
Right.
They're having too many cracks with this horse, and this is unfortunately a negative for this particular. On ability, it's absolutely capable for sure, but the setup, it's poor, very poor.
All right, let's finish with the last leg of the quaddie, and then we'll touch on some other races here. This is a really interesting race, this Rough Habit. At the moment, Autumn Angel is the clear favourite, the AJC Oaks winner, taking on the boys. Firstly, how are you expecting the pace in the race before I ask you about Autumn Angel?
Well, I'll just run through the profile. The slowest you could have this race is somewhere around benchmark 0.7 above. That's the slowest. And realistically, I'm pinning it, this race will be run somewhere around plus 2 to 5 range maybe. Could they go much faster? It's a big field. There's going to be plenty of energy. I've only got a few horses that are certain to go forward, but there's just going to be too much energy and they're going to have to sort themselves out. And that just creates that, what I call that artificial pace.
Well, that's a very important point because for those who haven't got your numbers, talk us through, if that's the case, how much faster might Autumn Angel have to go early? Just to even be midfield back, towards the back?
Yeah, good point. Well, realistically, of course, if we looked at that last run at Ram, we think, going 21 and a half lengths below benchmark, it's probably not a good place to go. But my view is this. This horse is realistically probably around a 2 lengths below benchmark horse early, maybe minus 5, but that's where this horse sits. It sits around 2 lengths below benchmark. So I have an expectation this horse is going to be about midfield, Ralphie.
Yeah, so it's coming off a very slow tempo, Oaks, which was unusual, is probably the clearing.
Yeah, it is coming off that, but we've got to look at we're talking about Moody and how well he's conditioned the horse. First up, 1,400 metres, good grounding. Then it went to 1,600 metres. Okay, up to 2,000 metres, gone 13.6 below benchmark early, but a good solid mid-race squeeze of 8 lengths. And then last start, Ralphie, I'm glad there's been more than 20 days. I mean, it was almost 29-length mid-race squeeze. It's massive, absolutely massive. That actually shows you how brilliant this horse is, Ralphie.
Yes.
This is a high-class horse.
So on talent, you can't possibly not have it right up there.
Well, I'll look at it like this. Again, I'm faced with the music. If you don't want to back that, it is an absolute lottery. So what? I just sit back and I try and keep it simple. What are the challenges? The challenges can really only be, how would this horse handle the ground? So I went to that Randwick run over 2,000 metres. That day there, the raw figures, minus 15.7, that's enough for me. WTI figure plus 7. I go, thank you. You are going to be able to genuinely handle S6, S7 ground without any issues. So where do you want to go? How hard do you want to make life? We can pull all the other horses apart and we can have fun doing it, but it'll create a lot of confusion.
Yep. Simple terms. Yeah, you're with Moody a couple of times tomorrow. This is the other one.
Yeah, and I look at it like this. Okay, we can put the old school hat on and say, but geez, I've marked the horse $3.50. That means it's not value and I'll have to take a different horse, and that's exactly what the bookmakers want you to do.
Yeah.
Take those different horses so they can make more.
Right. You're keeping it simple, nice and simple. Okay, let's have a look at a couple of those other ones. Again, I really enjoy doing this card, Vince. There's good depth to it.
Absolutely.
Let's get to race 5 now. Now, the market's really saying it's a two-horse race. I'd say the way to starting point is, if it's talent at the moment, Territory Express has got a clear gap on Gringotts. Two things, hasn't got another run, and it's Robbie Dolan versus Jamie Carr, and no disrespect to Robbie, but that's the reality about current superstar versus a bloke who is past month hasn't ridden many winners at all. How are you lining it up, the two horses, and both, and not just on talent, but also from a possible betting opportunity?
Yeah, well, firstly, we've got to start on the talent. I mean, the last two starts, and we've discussed this horse before, impossible to knock it. Plus 2 starts back, Rose Hill, 1,500 metres. Rock solid performance. Then goes to Randwick again, 1,400 metres and runs 2.5. All right, the race matrix is slightly behind, but then I look at the structure of that race. 4.8 lengths below benchmark, massive squeeze in the mid-race. The first time this horse had to genuinely try a savage move in the mid-race. This is high pressure, 7.8. See, it's not just the squeeze, Ralphie, of 12.6. It's the 7.8 above benchmark, which has got 40 years of history. And then didn't collapse. It still went 2.9 above last 400. Okay. I look at that and say, right, let's say you can hold that line or drop a length below that line and say we've peaked. okay, yep. this puts this horse in the genuine plus one territory. So I sit back, and this is how I'm looking at it and saying, all right, how many horses or who else is going to be that we're confident is where they should be right now to run better than that? So I get it. You look at Gringotts and say, well, this horse is going to make the pace up front. It's had two runs in so far, and they've both been excellent. 0.4 below benchmark first up, 0.2 below benchmark at Tamworth second up. I love what happened between the two races because first up it went 1.9 below benchmark early. Beautiful move in the mid-race going 3.5 above and then tanked out. I would say quite noticeably late, which is a big conditioner, and this doesn't generally happen a lot with the Ma horses when they get almost a three-length taper in the negative last 200 metres. So they must have known going into this race this horse was going to be well shorter condition, and they probably got a touch faster race than ideal for 1400. And you can see the shift. They go to Tamworth. You're on to Tamworth, right? But the horse
Tamworth
is going...
Tamworth Cup was a $200,000 race.
Yeah, and it's going 2.7 above.
Yep.
First section.
So it's another fast race.
Yep. Slow down in the mid-race. So it's actually had a 3.1 length slowdown and then just rocketed the last 400. So that was like perfect. Now, we step up to the mile. So this is the question. The thoughts over a mile. Well, I don't feel we've probably seen the very best of this horse yet. So I can't sit here and say, maybe this horse is going to be just a superstar at a mile, or... is this the type of horse that generates all this energy and is best suited at this sort of distance range? And then the last thing to look at is, can this horse handle the wet? Not a problem, particularly if we're going to be S5, S6, no problems at all. It's a very dangerous horse and probably might have a slight edge over Territory Express from that angle. But here we are. We're at a mile. And are both these horses at their best at a mile? Well, this is a little bit unknown, Ralphie.
Right. Yeah. Do you think it's we'll confirm tomorrow, but do you think it's the type of race you're playing?
Well, I'm going to be keen to see what this track rating comes up in the morning.
Yeah. Yep. Fair enough. Okay. Again, like I said, the card's got terrific depth to it.
Yep.
And this Group 3, the Chairman's Handicap over 2,000 metres. I know one thing, Vince. They won't be walking up front.
Which race is this?
Race 4.
Oh, yeah. With Dendy, yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, will they?
Well, Jamie Carr, first time on Deny Knowledge this prep. Last prep, rode it in that insane race that, of course, Pride of Jenny won. Then rode her when she won a week later at the Matriarch, a terrific performance. And then also rode her when failed at Caulfield on the Zipping Classic. Now, it was over 2,400, but the other question I've got to ask you, Vince, is, does that give us some concern about on a wet track tomorrow? So that either or situation about a drying track or not?
Well, the first thing that I look at is when I see this horse's profile, it's like you look at the intel and say, okay, well, where you're at. But that horse is actually giving all the signals the horse is airborne.
Yeah.
Like this horse is running like jumping out of its skin, but things haven't worked out for this horse. I mean, and particularly last start when I don't know why that happened, but
they tried something and didn't quite work, it'd be fair to say. How fast did it go in the Mornington Cup?
Plus 16.7. That's just
the cleaner.
Yeah, the cleaner. Pride of Jenny. Yeah, or Pride of Jenny. Now, mind you, this horse has gone fast before and to that sort of level. So I get it. But if they can get out and run that first half of the race plus 6, plus 10,
yeah,
that probably helps the horse. I get it as well why they probably don't want to go too slow because it is a bit of a one-paced horse. But mind you, you look at that run at Moonee Valley. I know it was over a mile, right? But this horse can demonstrate some sustained speed. And if they can get – the closer Jamie can get this pace to benchmark, the bigger this horse's chances are of winning this race. They don't need to go out at a rampant pace. So if I was in the Kent camp, I would be giving clear instructions. Jamie, go to the front, control the horse. This horse will relax for you. It will go fast for you as well if we want, but just control the horse. Control the speed up front. Don't go crazy. And then start to make your move inside the 1,000.
And Doomben's the ideal track for that too, isn't it?
Perfect, because then you can just – this horse got sustained speed, and I love it when they show that. And then that energy gets transferred.
Yep.
It's had the 28 days between runs. It will think that the horse is jogging. That horse will feel like it's jogging.
So the other favourite, Spirit Ridge, a few of these come through the Wagga Cup, Knight's Order and King Frankel as well. So Spirit Ridge will be up front too, and you've got another elite rider, obviously, in J-Mac. And there's a horse, very well exposed veteran, but he's a beauty. He's on pace and he tries his all.
Yeah, and it's no surprise, Annabelle Newsham. We just know that this trainer can get him very, very wound up first up. And this horse did turn up very forward first up off a long break and didn't quite break benchmark. I'm not sure. Well, look, if James wants to use speed with this horse tomorrow, that's going to be a big negative for the horse. This is another runner. It's probably going to feel that it's only 15 days between runs. It's going to feel that run, Ralphie. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if this horse is going to run flat second up. So if there's pace, it's probably going to be death for the horse.
And where's the left field runner new endeavour sort of profile? It's had two preps so far. This is its second. And it does look like it's coming together well. They had a throw at the stumps, obviously, huge odds last prep in the Golden Eagle. But this time it's including some barrier trials as well. So I don't think it will lack fitness in typical Waterhouse Bot style. Now you've got some clarity on its overseas form as well. First start at 2,000 metres.
Well, that's the question mark, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I wonder why they're going out to 2,000 metres. What they must feel that maybe this horse can handle that. There is no indication in the intel that this horse is going to thrive on that. But, of course, at the same time, we're coming back down to the class assessment of the race. So the overall class of the race is, I'll just say, borderline average, and therefore if you want to chance your arm on whether you can get 2,000, this is sort of the sort of race you want to get into, but it doesn't have the right profile. The only thing where the plus is it's got Waterhouse Bot's name on it.
Right. Okay. We'll tidy that tomorrow. And we'll finish with race three, even though it's not a stakes race. It's got a few horses here. We've shown a little bit of talent over the journey and probably have still got some more to come as far as your most advantage is concerned. You're starting with the rock hard fit horses in Razors and Panic, who's coming off a win at Randwick last start and 35 days between runs.
Well, I can't fault that run last start from Panic. I actually really like this horse, Ralphie. First, it was 0.2 above benchmark, franked on the matrix. The first thing that I always want to see, are you trending better than last campaign? Because we've discussed this many times over the years. Most horses just trend to their first up prep. So on this first up prep, this horse was around a 1.6 below to minus three horse. It turned up at Wyong and around minus 1.3. And then it's gone around, we can go on 0.2 above. I said, perfect. Race matrix franked. I said, that's all I want to see. And then I looked at the structure of the race. Good pace early, 1.7 lengths below benchmark. Is that like the outer limits of this horse? No. This horse can go even benchmark if they have to early. The mid-race move, solid, 3.4 above. We've seen a little bit of a taper at the end, but marginal. Sort of franking that this horse is like in top condition. The question mark will just be, will you handle wet ground? So that's what that horse.
Well, it's as much as $21, so that seems like pretty fair over at the moment. Razors, like I said, rock hard fit and probably gets every chance there from that barrier.
Well, this has got the opposite scenario. This is a rock hard fit horse, and if we're on wet ground, they'll probably be giggling a little bit. It's proven it in terms of its capability. It's a rock solid benchmark, half a length above, which is perfect for this race as well. It does have a better profile from a wet ground point of view because it's tasted some give in the ground. So it gives you the indicator that, okay, maybe if we're on ground conditions again, that's going to get inside S6. This horse could be possibly entertained, but it's holding its form. And I also feel coming back that couple of hundred metres is perfect for this particular runner. But would I want to go there to back this horse? No. I'd rather back Panic because I just feel it's an up-and-comer. Your question will be, how will you handle the ground, right? That's all. But that I'd rather still be on that horse.
Just a couple to touch on to finish with here. The instructor, what do we see from it first up? Oh, second up, sorry.
Yep. Well, first up, it was 6.4 lengths below benchmark over 1,200 metres. He had to use a fair bit of energy early, but completely dropped out over the last 400. Not characteristic of this stable to have such a massive conditioning blowout. So was the horse a bit of a surprise that it used too much energy early? So then it turned up at Canterbury and went 0.9 below benchmark, best of the day when winning. A much more controlled pace early, about 2.5 lengths slower. Also, almost 2 lengths slower in the mid. And the dropout over the last 200 and 400 metres was nowhere near as savage. So it made the big improvement. This is a climber, Ralphie, absolutely a climber. And, yeah, I would give respect to this horse in this race.
Miravelle Rose, I'll find the Tasmanian Tiger before I find the Graham Beg stable, but first up on bog-heavy ground, since that a barrier trial, it showed a bit of promise that last spring, probably goes forward, and Craig Williams won't die wondering.
No, well, Craig's gone some interesting horses, but this is a horse that's genuinely half length to maybe benchmark half a length above this sort of that range. And when I look at what it did in that first up run, given the circumstances, the ground conditions, it probably did a fair job going 5.2 below. But it's also clearly visible that if we find ourselves on a track that's S7 and staying near heavy, it's probably a horse you want to stay away from for another run.
Well, I better finish with one here because it's just doing my head in. It's yep. Centify. Now, it won on debut when they backed it at Waterboard bog-heavy ground. Last prep, if it brings what it did at Caulfield, 23rd of the 9th, Southport Tycoon, that's Group 1 form there. V8 was 5th in the race. That type of number will probably be enough to be competitive, won't it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I looked at this runner, and this is also, you know, very dangerous. It is a dangerous horse, Ralphie. I just sort of looked at that first up run and said, okay, what happened here? And what was very visible to me was that 7.8 lengths below benchmark first section, not doing a lot of work, didn't help the horse. But the way it moved through the race and the way it used its energy in the mid-race was almost 7.5 lengths movement. Strong last 400 of plus 2.7. So, yes, this is a horse that's giving good signals. The question will be, how will it handle the ground?
Yeah. Just has to be there on the table. All right, there's a couple that you're keen on at the moment, and there's more that we'll have with some clarity tomorrow post-scratchings, and also we'll touch on those first two races once you've had a good look at that, if there's an opportunity or if it remains in your low confidence. In the meantime, we really appreciate you being a customer of Year Round Carnival.